Amen. Give God some praise this morning. And man, thank you, praise team, for leading us. Isn't the name of Jesus a good name, church? The name of Jesus is the name that at that name every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the name of Jesus is the name above all names. Man, it is good to be with you guys this morning. I'm excited. I've been looking forward to preaching the good news to you today. Next week, we are beginning our Advent season. So Christmas time is coming. Can you guys believe that already? It's Christmas time. But before we jump into the Christmas season today, I wanted us to look at some of the epistles of Paul this morning, is particularly the book of Romans. So take out your Bible this morning and turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, chapter 5. The book of Romans, chapter 5. Because as we go into the Christmas season next week, we understand and we know that Jesus came for a very specific reason, and that reason was to save us and to have a relationship, so we could have a relationship with God. This morning, I want us to look at Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Throw that on the screen for us this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. I want you to listen as we read the Word of God this morning. For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have now received this reconciliation through Him. Father, we thank You for the Word. May You bless it today. Lead us and guide us as we attempt to preach it faithfully and to teach it within context and to teach it correctly. And Father, today, may Your Spirit open up our hearts. We invite the Spirit of God here, Father, Lord, to open up our hearts and to, Lord, teach us the Word. Help me, Lord, today to preach. And God, I pray if someone is here today that does not know You, I pray today would be the day that they give their heart and their life to Jesus, Lord, and heart to You. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we go into Thanksgiving this week and then the Christmas season, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for in Jesus. And we love You, and we pray this in Your name. Amen. Have you ever felt helpless? Yes or no? All right. Many of us in our lives have felt helpless at multiple times in our lives, or we felt like there was just no hope, there was no help. No matter what we did or how we tried, we would never, ever be able to come out of our situation. Now, if you are a man in the room today, I need to help define helplessness to you. Because not everything that a man thinks they are helpless in are they necessarily helpless. Now, let me give you a prime example of what I'm talking about today. Have you ever noticed how a lady responds to the flu versus to how a man responds to the flu? Now, I'm going to tell one on myself this morning because I have been guilty of this today. I don't know what it is. But when a guy gets the flu, I mean, we shut down, don't we? My wife could be sick as a dog, helping our children, changing diapers, doing everything, cooking food, sick as a dog. But I don't know what happens to me. When I get sick, it's like the whole world shuts down. Any ladies understand this today? And the reality is we become so helpless when we're sick. But thank God for those strong ladies. I don't know if it's something in their blood that makes them stronger in times of sickness, or sometimes the reality is most men are weenies. Amen on that. And what we need to do, really, men, we need to man up, and we need to grow up, and we need not to act like we are pitiful little babies every time we get sick. Amen, men. Oh, my. Oh, my. I think maybe Carl muttered an amen underneath his voice, and that was about it. Hey, ladies, the men need to man up when they get sick. Amen. Woo! I got me an amen corner this morning with the ladies. All right. Well, the reality is that every time when we think that we're helpless, we're not always really as helpless as we may think that we are. Sometimes we can do a lot of stuff, and we can help out and contribute in ways when we think that we can't. But you know, when I think of the term helplessness, I think back to a few years ago in a situation that really happened where there was a group of people, 30 people, that were sincerely helpless. You guys probably remember watching this on the news or seeing this, but you remember when the Chilean mine disaster happened? You guys remember that? 30 men were trapped in a Chilean mine underground. And they didn't know if those guys were alive or not, and the Chilean government began to drill holes to see, and they lowered a drill down, and sure enough, one of the drills came back up, and it had a piece of paper taped to it that said, "We're here and we're safe." For a long amount of time, months, these men stayed in that mine, and there was nothing that they could do to free them from that tomb they were in. Absolutely nothing. They could do absolutely nothing to get out of that mine that had collapsed. What did have to happen was that outside forces had to step in and save them. Outside forces had to come in and make a difference. The Chilean government got involved, and the story goes they had even camps around the site where people were praying like 24 hours a day, and the Chilean government was there. They involved NASA in the process, and NASA had developed some sort of capsule that went down. They drilled a hole, and they built this capsule, and eventually, as they lowered the capsule down after lots of, you know, scientists and men that studied physics and understood that, they thought they figured it out, and they lowered that capsule down, but the miners had to do everything that the surface told them to do. It was so serious and it was so volatile that if the miners that were trapped did not trust upstairs, they would not survive. And really, their communication was so limited. I mean, they couldn't see. The miners couldn't see. They were in darkness for so long, and they were trapped down there. They were starving, but they had to completely rely on communication from up above and put their trust in people they could not see to be saved. And those miners, as that tube came down, they had to go one by one. But I love the story. There was actually the very first person to ride in that capsule was not one of the Chilean miners, believe it or not. It was actually somebody from the surface that got in the capsule on the surface and went down into the cavern with those people. And then they stepped out, and that worker, that man that rode down that tube and went into the ground with them, stayed with them in the ground until they were successfully able to transport all 30 men back up the tube. And the last person to leave was him. It had to have somebody from above to tell them that they needed help in their helplessness. And it also took somebody from above to come down below and to lead them up to where they were. The reality is the flu does not make us helpless. A broken foot does not make us helpless. A lack of education does not make us helpless. Our environment does not make us helpless. A career that didn't work out does not make us helpless. But your spiritual condition makes you spiritually helpless today. Kenny, what are you talking about? Paul would spell this out in the book of Romans. He would say, for all, say, you know this verse with me? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He would say again in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we sin against God, because God is holy and God is just and God is righteous, we as human beings, when we sin against God, the Bible has a term for us that happens when we sin against God. And that term is called being spiritually dead. Now, the reality is with death, spiritual death, a dead person, there's nobody more helpless than a dead guy. Did you know that? If you've ever had to help in a funeral or help with somebody that was dead and you had to help haul them or help them to some degree, you're going to quickly learn they're not going to do a whole lot to help you out. Did you know that? I've had the unfortunate experience to lift a dead body. I've had that happen before. Some of you all in this room have as well. I've carried caskets out before. I've done that. I've helped in funeral type stuff with the body. I've done not a whole lot, but a little bit of stuff with clothes, you know, laying stuff on their jackets and helping organize. Not very much, but I've done that a little bit. And I could tell you that when you go to help a dead body, they don't help you back. They are completely lifeless, and there's nothing they can do to help out. It relies completely on you. Isn't it interesting that the term the Bible would use for us in our sin is spiritual death? Isn't that interesting that the term that God would describe us as sinners with a holy God, that we are spiritually dead people, meaning that there's nothing we can do on our own to save us. There's nothing we can do in our own power to save us. We are spiritually dead. Helpless in our sinful state. Now, some of us believe today, well, Kenny, if I'm just a good person, if I'm just a decent, moral person, then surely that will work my way to heaven. But let me ask you a question. How good is good enough? I mean, if it's a series of works that take you to heaven, and a series of works, how good is good enough? How do you really know if you've achieved it? How do you really know if you're a good person? Somebody will say, well, Kenny, I'm going to give up all my bad habits. And if I give up all of my bad habits, then I'll be right. I'll be good. I'm going to make it. Well, friend, have you ever, you know, Christmas is coming. Well, Thanksgiving is coming. Who's going to eat turkey this week? All right, okay. Now, who's going to eat again at Christmas? Now, don't raise your hand on this one. Who's going to make a vow in January to lose weight? All right? Now, keep your hands down. You ready? Who's going to keep that vow? None of y'all. All right? Michael Fuchs back there raising his hand. Maybe. I hope you can. But the reality is we could try and try and try, but we can't give up bad habits. We have bad habits, and they stick with us, don't they? They stick with us. They don't just disappear. The more positive you think, the more willpower you have, then maybe your bad habits will disappear. Good luck. Well, I'll be religious, and I'll go to church. Man, I love church. We planted Life Community by God's grace 4 years ago. I believe in church planting, and by God's grace, I hope our church plants a bunch more churches. Don't you all? I really hope so. We're helping a church plant out in Brooklyn and helping a church plant out across the river in Louisville and helping a church plant out here in the city that works with the deaf community. Man, I love churches, but you know what? Church is not a magic spaceship that takes you to heaven. Can I be honest with you? I've met a lot of church people that I'm pretty sure are going to hell. They don't know Jesus. They're on a roll, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. I met some mean church people before. Church doesn't take you to heaven. So it's not our deeds, it's not our willpower, it's not a religious organization. So how do we get help in a time of helplessness? Well, you must wait for the help from above to come and to take your hand and to lead you up to where you belong. But the good news is this, that help, you ready for this, has already come. Did you know that today? He came 2,000 years ago. And today we stand at the threshold of either receiving his help to be born again and to be saved, to be forgiven, or we reject his help. I want you to see today three things about receiving the help. And I want to answer this question. This is the question that I want to answer. How does God help me in my helplessness? How does the Lord help me when I am spiritually helpless to help myself? Let's answer that question. First, I want you to see this. I am helped by a demonstration of love. A demonstration of love. Look what the Bible says. Let's back up to verse 6. For while we were still helpless at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody today, be thankful and grateful that when you were a sinner, you were helpless, God still chose to help us today. When we were sinners, Jesus chose to do that. It goes on, for rarely will someone die for a just person. So not everybody's just going to give up their life for a good, outstanding moral citizen. He goes on to say, though, for a good person, maybe someone might even dare to. Maybe you give up your life for a relative or somebody like, maybe, but that's even a stretch in itself if we would even do that. But God, he just doesn't say he loves us. He what? He proves he loves us. See, some of y'all have been told Jesus loves you, and it's like cliche almost. It's almost like, well, that's just a phrase. Sure, God loves me. But you know, when God says he loves you, he just didn't say it, he demonstrated it. He showed it. He proved it. And the Bible says, but God proves his own love for you. You love me, God? Prove it. And you ready? He did. He proved the love, and that while we were still sinners, meaning that we were breathing out blasphemies against God, we were doing wickedness, we were cheating, we were lying, we were stealing, we were killing, all of this evil, rotten stuff. And God still says, I love you. God still says, I love you. And he goes on to say, I'll prove to you that I love you. And how did he do that? By sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Verse 9, much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. Now, one thing I want you to understand today, we don't talk about this a lot in the modern church, but maybe we should. Maybe we need to. We know that God is love, and this is maybe one of the perfect scriptures to demonstrate who the Lord is. You have his love being proved through the death of Jesus, but you have another word that surfaces called wrath, the wrath of God. Now, that's a word we don't really use a lot. We don't walk around and say, man, I was at work today, and that dude just made me so mad that I just let some wrath out today. I just let some wrath out. Man, I got wrath out today, you know? I'm just full of wrath today. I'm just gonna tell somebody how it is. I'm going to show them how it is, and they're going to know how it is. I'm going to give some wrath out. The Bible says that we were saved from God's wrath. What does that mean? Some of you all don't like to think of God as having wrath. You know what the Old Testament says. Man, it ain't hard to read the Old Testament, figure out that God's got a little wrath in the Old Testament. But can I tell you something? God's got wrath today. Still does. That's not changed. The reality is that we as sinners stand in stark contrast with a holy God. God is incredibly holy. There is not a spot of dirt in him, a spot of wickedness in him. There is no nothing that's compromising, nothing that's wrong in the Lord at all. But when we sinned against a holy God, and we became dirty, and we became filthy, and we became unrighteous, a holy God and us as sinful people don't mix. Did you know that? We don't mix. Somebody would say, well, why can't God just forgive us? Why did the whole cross thing have to happen? I mean, why did Jesus have to die? Wasn't it just enough for God to say, you're forgiven? I mean, when my child disobeys me, I don't say, well, you know, you're forgiven if you go out there and sacrifice some chickens. You know, I don't do that. Gracie, I know you broke that, so go up there and chop the goat's head off and you'll be okay, you know? I don't do that. So why did God do that? Why couldn't God just say, you're forgiven? Because God is not like me. God's better than me. See, I'm still corrupt. I'm still sinful because I'm a human being. But God's completely holy. If God, hear me on this, if God does not punish sin, that makes him an unjust God. If you had a judge today, let's say, for example, I've used this illustration before, but some of y'all here for the first time. Let's say today you come home and all of your family has been brutally murdered, every one of them. And the person that brutally murdered your family confessed to the crime. Confessed to it. And that person went to the judge and stood before the judge and said, yeah, I did it. I killed everybody. But if that judge said, well, I'm a loving judge and a caring judge and a gracious judge, you're forgiven. Go home. How would that make you feel? Anybody? Not good, right? Would he be a just judge or an unjust judge? Unjust. You would expect that judge to do what? To deliver judgment. And if he did not deliver judgment, he would not be a good judge. He'd be a bad judge. For us as human beings that are sinful and that have broken God's laws, I mean, we have done everything God has told us not to do. He says, have no other gods before him. We've done that. He says, don't murder, but we've hated people in our heart. When Jesus said, it makes you just like a murderer. He says, don't commit adultery, but if you have lust in your heart, he says, you're an adulterer. He says, don't lie. We've lied. He says, don't steal, and we've stolen. He says, don't make any, you know, don't carve out false images to you, and we've carved out everything and that we can to worship. Be that football, basketball, this, that, a hobby, whatever. Well, we're lawbreakers. Every one of us are lawbreakers. And the reality is that we stand in contrast to a holy God deserving death and hell. The doctrine of hell is a real doctrine in the Bible. And the Bible speaks of those that don't know the Lord and those that are dying. They are going to hell, not unjustly, but they are going to hell very justly to answer and to pay for their sins. At a place that's an isolation from God, a literal place where people will stay into existence. They'll be in existence for all of eternity in their sins. A very scary thought. Well, man, Kenny, that doesn't sound like good news to me. That sounds very, very disheartening to me, very scary to me. But I love the fact that, yes, God is holy, but God is also love. And one of the great things about that is that as God is both holy and just and loving and caring, God comes up with the perfect plan. And he tells us, he demonstrates it much more than since we have now been declared righteous by his blood. You ready? When Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says that he was our substitutionary atonement. Meaning what? That he paid for our sins in our place. Who deserved the cross, us or Jesus? Us. So when Christ died, he died in our place. He died where we were supposed to be to pay for our sins because he loves us. So you ready? When we accept Jesus and we trust in Jesus as our Savior, do you understand what's happening? Your sin has been judged, but not on you. But on who? Jesus. So when Christ was on the cross, remember when he said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Do you remember when he said that? You know why, don't you? Because God the Father looked at God the Son, and when God the Father saw God the Son, he saw every lousy, wicked, evil thing that you did on the cross. And a holy God had to turn his back on God the Son for you. So you have a beautiful, beautiful scenario. You have a God that has to punish sin. And you know what? The reality is he could have lined every one of us up and said, you deserve it. Boom, there's hell. 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 He had every right to do that. And he would not be unjust. He would still be good if he did that because we're the lawbreakers. He would still be good, but yet, because he's awesome and he's great and he's loving, what happened? He sent Jesus, and he didn't have to, church. Y'all know that, right? He didn't have to, but he did it because you're special, because you're awesome. You have value. You have worth. Your sin corrupted you, but God wanted you to be saved. So when Jesus died on the cross, he demonstrated his love. He just didn't say, I love you. He said, no, I love you. And I'm going to die for you on the cross. And you know what the Bible says? We read it. It says because of his blood was the payment for us. His payment for us. You know what the Bible says now? You've been declared what? Righteous. Now, anybody done anything lousy, stupid this week? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're doing something lousy and stupid right now by not telling the truth. So go ahead and raise your hand. All right? You ready for this? If you are a believer in Jesus because of the substitution of Christ, God the Son dying in your place, you know how God sees you today? Not as a loser, not as a failure. You know how he sees you? Righteous. Now, your wife didn't see you as righteous this week. Especially if you had the man flu. Amen. Your husband didn't see you as righteous. Your friends didn't see you as righteous. But if you have a relationship with God, guess what? God looks down in heaven and he sees righteousness. Why? Because he doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees Jesus in your life. And friend, that's what we call good news. That's good news. How are we helped in our helplessness? Jesus demonstrated his love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But second, I'm helped by the resurrection of Jesus. Now, this is so cool. This should excite every one of us. It goes on to say, but God proves his own love for us while we are still sinners. Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by blood, we'll be saved through him from wrath. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, I mean, against God. You were against God before you were saved. You were the enemy of God, the Bible says. You were the enemy of God. And you catch that, right? You were the enemy of God. You were the enemy of God. Just as much as the enemy of God as the church of Satan is, or as Islam is, you were an enemy of God. Are you catching me, church? You were an enemy of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. You ready? Because Jesus died on the cross, you're not an enemy anymore. You're in good relationship. Friendship with God. You can know God personally. Isn't it great today that we don't have to go through a priest or a person to talk to God if we have Jesus in our life? We just talk to him directly. Oh, how in the world can you talk to God directly? Because Jesus is my go-to man. He's in between me and the Father. And he's helping me. And check this out. How much more having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. Now, if Jesus just would have died on the cross for us and that was it, he still would have been defeated. But because he rose from the grave, this is some good news. Y'all need to get excited or you need to get saved this morning, all right? Because he's alive and he lives inside of us and he's in us, not only are our past sins forgiven, but he stands alive interceding for us every day. The book of Hebrews says, therefore, chapter 7, verse 25, therefore, he is always able to save those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. If you have a relationship with Jesus, there is a living Jesus at the right hand of God talking to the Father. And every time you do a bonehead, dumb move as a Christian, which you will until the day you die. Did you know that? There is a living Jesus that's up there in heaven and says, hey, Lord, I know Jordan was an idiot this week. I know he was. I know he really goofed up. But I just didn't pay for Jordan's past sins. I paid for his past, present, and future sins. I'm interceding today. See, his life saves us. Why do I believe you can't be unsaved? Because the living Jesus intercedes for us, continually interceding for us. Well, what about the Christian that lives like the devil? Well, he either is totally backslidden and God's pulling him closer to him and he's working on his heart and the spirit, he's in a miserable shape, or he's not genuinely saved. He's not genuinely saved. Maybe he didn't lose it. Maybe he never had it. Maybe he never had it. But we are helped because a living Jesus is here. Isn't it great today that that you talk to a God that's alive? He's alive. And that should encourage all of us. And Jesus is there, our priest, going back and forward to help us. Number three, I am helped by an exclamation of praise. Now look at the very last part, verse 11. And not only that, but we also what? We also what? Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have now received this reconciliation through him. Paul says, who wrote this, he said that if we've received this friendship, this relationship that's been repaired through the blood of Jesus, if we receive this, we have every reason to rejoice because we have been reconciled to God. Now, I don't know what it is about this room, okay? But let me tell you what's happened. We were at the community college. Y'all were amening, jumping up and down, shouting, singing loud. Y'all getting here and y'all become like church mice, all right? Mike, even you've been quiet, man. God bless you. But we got to snap out of that. Amen, church? Because this is called life community church, not death community church. Not sleep. Listen, y'all are sleeping later. Y'all don't have to come early to set up anymore. Y'all sleeping later, all right? You should be more awake. But hear me on this. Because Jesus is alive, because he died on the cross for us, because his blood sacrifice paid our sins for us, and his life makes us new people, daily interceding for us. Buddy, if that don't get your wood burning, your wood is wet this morning. And you need a little bit of fire in your life. And you need to know that Jesus saves, and he is real, and he is amazing, and he is good. He has been good to us. He will always be good to us. He will not stop being good to us. I am helpless, and he is my help, and that just makes me happy. Because Jesus is my help. Jesus is my help. Now think back to those miners. The help did all the work. They built the machines. They drilled the holes. They had the camps. They did all the work. Those men were helpless. They had to build it, pay for it themselves. And when that tube came down and those men saw that tube open and that man stepped out, that was their Savior right there. But they still had a choice. They could either stay in that tomb and die, or they could step on the capsule and ascend up. Today, every one of us has to make a decision to reach out and hold the hand of Jesus and say, I am a Christ follower. I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died in my place. His blood was poured out for me, and I'm choosing to follow him. I'm going to confess him as my Lord and Savior. Now, for me, I was 7 years old when I did that, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I remember very plainly. I was 7 years old, prayed to receive Christ. And you know what? I did a lot of bonehead, dumb stuff since I was seven, obviously. Most of my dumb, bonehead stuff came after I became a Christian. There might still be more down the road, too. But here's what I know, that a living Jesus came into my heart that day when I asked him to. Today you are here and Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. And you feel his touch. I see it in some of y'all's eyes this morning. You feel his touch and his pull. He's done everything he can to help you. You just have to respond in a very simple prayer, but also the most complicated, complex prayer you'll ever pray. Simple, but multifaceted. Simple, but saving. Beautifully amazing. It's a prayer that would say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve death and hell. But I believe you died in my place. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. I believe you died, believe you rose again. Come into my life and save me. And the Bible promises you that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, say it with me, church, will be saved. Romans 10:13. They will be. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not your heritage. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Our band's going to come. We're going to dim the lights. Maybe today you stand here in need of a saving relationship with Christ. Maybe today you understand that you need Christ. I'm going to lead you in that simple prayer. And today, if you need to accept Jesus, I want you to pray this morning. Open your heart up and receive Christ for the very first time if you've never accepted Jesus. For those that need to pray to be saved. Dear God, I am a sinner. I deserve death and hell. But thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. I believe he died for me, and he rose again. Jesus is my God. I give my heart to you. I turn from my sin. Please save me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed today, I would never humiliate you, embarrass you, call you out. That's not my style. But I think it's important to acknowledge if you prayed to receive Jesus for the first time today. I'm going to ask that none of our church folks look around, but to respect those. If today you pray to receive Christ for the very first time, would you just look right here at me and raise your hand? Raise your hand up high, just stick it up high and say, Kenny, I asked Jesus into my heart for the very first time. Stick it up high. Anybody today? Father, we love you. We pray, Jesus, that you would lead us and guide us, God, daily to follow you. Thank you for your death on the cross. We pray this in your name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Maybe today you need to make a decision to make your salvation public, to unite with this church. Maybe today you heard the gospel for the 100th time, and you've been a Christian since you've been way little, but you were reminded about how much help he's given you, and you just want to come and praise him for that today. Respond today however the Lord tells you to respond as we sing.